Good morning, everyone. I'm calling the meeting to order for the Housing and Transportation Committee. Today is Thursday, August 11th, 2022, 9:30 in the morning. And remind everybody that the meeting is being recorded. And we will start with Pledge of Allegiance and Carol Moore. If everyone can stand, if possible.
Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And then we'll do roll call, Linda Barcelona.
Good morning, everybody. Charlene Ashendorf.
Present.
I'm present. Denise Barnes.
Present.
Thank you. Elizabeth Busick.
Present.
Thank you. Helen Cameron.
Present.
Thank you. Amelia Castro. Maybe she'll be coming in late. Okay, Jerry Chang.
Present.
Jean Hernandez.
Present.
Juno Kim.
Present.
Carol Moore. Carol's muted, I can see her.
Present, sorry.
That's okay.
Sometimes I hit the keyboard and it doesn't, it's supposed to, but it doesn't always.
That's fine. And let's see, Mary Perdue.
Present.
And Sandy Sting.
Present. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And then I'll remind everyone to mute yourself now until it's your turn to talk. Number four is action item AB 361, review and make findings code subsection 54953E3. Recommendation, continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of the emergency arising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risk to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person. And then we'll need a roll call, and your vote would be yes or no. And I don't know who's leading our meeting. Maybe
I'll go ahead and do it, Sandy. I'm here now.
Oh, great, thank you.
Charlene Ashendorf?
Yes.
Linda Barcelona?
No.
Denise Barnes?
Yes.
Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Helen Cameron?
Yes.
Amelia Castro? Not present. Jerry Chang?
Yes, yes.
Jean Hernandez?
I'm sorry, yes.
Thank you. Juno Kim?
Yes.
Carol Moore?
Present.
Vote? Vote for AB 361. For Carol Moore, I didn't get the vote.
I'm sorry, aye.
Thank you. Mary Perdue?
Yes.
And Sandy Stang?
Yes.
And that is majority chair.
Okay, thank you. And then number five is the senior non-emergency medical transportation update by Jeanette.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. I'm here covering for Farah today. And I wanted to share with you the year-end SNEMT report for fiscal year 21-22. Desiree, do you mind sharing it? Thank you. And I will proceed. Can everyone see the screen?
Yes, I can.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So let me get started. It's a little bit lengthy. So the total trips for 21-22 is 110,864. And the average trips, the average number of trips for 21-22 is 9,237. And that's for all service areas in Orange County. The total miles for 21-22 for the entire County of Orange is 697,863. And the average miles for 21-22 for across all service areas is 58,153. The average cost per trip overall, total average cost per trip is $42.42. The average trip length is 6.55 miles, and the average cost per mile is $6.46. We also included a year-over-year difference in percentage and dollars. So year-over-year, it's an increase of 40% versus fiscal year 2020 to 2021. The total miles year-over-year difference, it increased by 36.25%. And the average cost per trip year-over-year difference, it actually... is a little bit, I believe this is supposed to be a little bit higher, so it's $5.20. The average trip length year over year difference is just a difference of 0.20 miles, and the average cost per mile year over year difference is 33 cents. I believe it was 33 cents less in the prior year, if I'm not mistaken, only because, as you can tell, gas prices have severely impacted the services for this year. And at the same time, you know, the pandemic is still ongoing, so they still have to continue to implement their cleanliness protocol, sanitation, less passengers being or participants being transported to and from their medical trips. You know, and they have to, of course, sanitize every single time in between passengers. And at the same time, you know, it's reflective, of course, of what's happening. And not just because of the pandemic, but because of the economy, they also have to make their staff pay a little bit more competitive because they're losing staff as well. Our providers are having a difficult time, like everyone else, filling staffing needs. So that's basically it for the fiscal year 2021 to 2022 year end report. We actually have just, I'm sure you all know, we have just started a new fiscal year, and we awarded and entered into a 3-year contract with the option to renew for an additional 2 years with the same providers after conducting a request for proposals. Does anyone have any questions so far?
Actually, I have a comment.
Sure.
I really appreciate all the information that you provide. I really find it interesting. And I was thinking about, you know, no one guarantees absolute safety. What we do is reasonable. We have to be reasonable. And I think on this, and possibly this is not sensible, but to me, to totally wipe down everything is not sensible, because we're talking about transmission. It usually, you can't clean the air, and isn't, you look at the most likely way of transmitting something, and it has been, and recently we know it has been airborne. Okay, so my statement is, would it make sense, and I'm only offering this as a thought, instead of wiping down the vehicle, when you arrive at your destination, that the person getting out, you hand them something to wipe their hands, and the driver wipes their hands, because in 2 minutes, it's kind of like using a blower on your driveway in the midst of a Santa Ana wind. It doesn't really, it's not effective. So I'm just thinking on that, something to think on.
Absolutely. And thank you for that feedback, Carol. I know that they do provide also PPE for, you know, I believe they're all of our providers have ready PPE for, you know, say, for example, if someone doesn't have a mask. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're still required to mask. It's been a while since I've covered this program, but yeah, if I'm not mistaken, they're still required to mask up when they're in transport, and they do have PPE readily available. I will send that feedback to the program manager, food for thought, and see if they can consider maybe applying that, or even getting those like little wet naps, I guess, the napkins that they could just easily hand to passengers. And Denise, I believe you have a question.
No, not at this time.
Oh, sorry, you have your hand up. I'm so sorry.
I put the wrong guy.
No problem. Okay. Does anyone else have any questions, perhaps?
I think Carol brings up a good comment. And did we start wiping everything down when COVID first started? And maybe things have progressed where, you know, if you get in a cab or a bus, nobody's wiping anything down.
No. Right? Yeah.
So yeah, I think we did. Carol brings up a good point. That's a lot of extra work and time. And maybe in the beginning we needed it, but I'm wondering if she's not right. Maybe we've moved on now.
Yeah.
Hey, there's one other thing that really strikes me, and it's something that I was not aware of. And that is, I happen to be speaking with somebody who works with respiratory, help. And they were telling me, I said, well, you know, who did we think in the past had respiratory problems? Smokers, you know, that was a pretty easy, it's pretty clear, you're making a choice and here's the results of this. However, I've since learned that another very at-risk group now are people who clean houses, and they feel there are several possibilities. One, they feel like they're doing a lot of spraying and they're inhaling this material that they're spraying, cleaning the sink, cleaning whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you something that is factual. These numbers are there. I was really surprised at this. And when I went to the opening of City of Hope, they told me the same thing. They said, yeah, there's a very strong correlation. Now, there also is with vacuuming. If you vacuum your own house, even when you have a filter, you notice you can smell that you've been vacuuming. At least I can, and I have a HEPA filter in my vacuum. So I'm really thinking of another part of this, and that is it good for the drivers to be, these are chemicals. A chemical is a chemical. And you have to stop and think, you know, you have a trade-off here. You maybe killed a germ over there, but you just exposed yourself to something. Anyway, that's my thought on that.
Oh, very valid point. I know that with my house cleaner, I've always encouraged her to use natural products. And then she did get breast cancer, and that was the first thing they told her: no more chemicals, no more spraying, no more bleach, no more any of that stuff. And she said to me, "God, how did you know that?" And I said, "Well, it's the way my mom cleaned, use natural products." But thank you. Those are good points. Anybody else? This is a very good detailed report. I appreciate it. So the comment, I wasn't quite sure at the very end when you said they're having some issues with staff and losing people. Does that mean they have to raise the pay, or can they find people?
I think they just have to make it a little bit more competitive. So in order to entice more applicants when they started losing it, but I don't know exactly quite what they raised it to. Okay. But I know that they were, like with everyone else, they're trying to make the compensation package a little bit more enticing for possible applicants, because I'm sure with the same with everyone else, they're losing people as well.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, do you see any trends or anything changing for the future after you completed this report?
So for the future, it seems like right now, because of rising gas prices, and also just the cost of transporting people, like less people each trip, because it's not back. I mean, we're kind of back as much as possible, but it's not fully back to normal or what it was pre-pandemic. I think it's going to continue on with kind of like the new normal for at least the first 6 months of the year. What we're doing is we're revisiting it every 6 months just to make sure that, okay, are your rates per mile still good? Like, are is it reasonable? Are you able to serve all the participants and any new participants in the service area based on your funding? And then we, you know, like I said, we're planning on revisiting it around the mid-year mark to make sure that we're still in line with the funding, that we're still going to be able to meet the maximum obligation of the contract by year end. And that includes, you know, that includes not just, you know, the funding amount itself, but also the trips, you know, the anticipated trips and miles that we serve. But right now it's usually busy around July and like the first quarter of the year, because that's when they restart all of their, they carry over everyone who were served last from last year. So the new fiscal year always kind of starts with a big rush because of everyone being re-signed up again, because it kind of resets everything at the beginning of the fiscal year.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Anyone else have any questions? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Jeanette. We'll go on to item number 6. Denise Barnes is the coordinator for our presentation today. So Denise, if you'd like to do the introduction.
So far, I don't see Caesar in the room yet. Okay. I'm trying to get a hold of him, but he was scheduled for today.
Right.
Maybe Desiree can let me know. Was there any communication to you?
No, I didn't receive any communication. I did send him the link.
Oh, you did? Him, okay.
So I don't know what. I haven't received an email.
Okay. I'm trying to reach him myself. So I apologize.
No problem.
Okay.
We'll go on to number 7, which is chair items. Excuse me. So I attended the, they call it the Accessible Transit Advisory Committee meeting, used to be the Special Needs Transportation. And let me get my report. They did their usual, they award drivers that go out of their way and do extra things for their participants. And they had 3 of those. This was the first time they did the award since 2020. They talked about the ridership on the regular bus is way down, and they've been checking around with other communities and cities, and they're finding this is a trend. So now they'll have to cut out some routes. And they're going to work on better frequency for the higher attended routes. Let's see, they're going to have a new route in Irvine that will serve the Great Park, Irvine Boulevard, and South County. They've been publishing booklets and doing surveys online to find out what people are looking for. And there's certain, now this was a good point that was brought up. We have several, not supposed to use the word handicap, physically challenged people in the room. We have, when we meet, there's 3 guide dogs, and they were very concerned that they were not included in the survey. So they're trying to address their surveys because they feel like they're getting good information. And then the people in the room are saying, well, we weren't surveyed and we weren't asked. They're going to upgrade the tablets for the drivers. They have a system where they have to prove their ID at the time of boarding, and they're working on that because once you're in the system, they're wondering why you keep needing them to do that. Their on-time performance improved by quite a bit. They're expecting in the fall more riders as some people start going back to actual office work. They talked about access Gracie Davis gave her report, and they said it was the 32nd anniversary of the ADA law. And we had a report on senior mobility from Joanne Jacobson. And she talked about 275 to 280 trips. And then for fiscal 2022, total of, that was the SMP trips. And then total trips were 90,000. And she commented on all the senior centers she believes are open now. And so they won't be doing that delivering meals that they were doing during COVID. They have a program for college students that they can ride the bus for free. So we brought up, should seniors be able to ride the bus for free? We didn't get much of an answer on that. And there's going to be a value pass that's coming in for everyone. And let's see. And our next meeting will be October 25th, 2022 at 12 o'clock. And anyone's allowed to attend. And it's at 550 South Main Street in Orange, room 7. And the meeting starts at 12 o'clock and goes till 2 o'clock. So if anyone would like to attend, you're more than welcome. Especially if you have issues, or if you have issues or comments and you want to get them to me, I'll take them to the meeting. And then we go to old business, just reminding everyone our goal one is housing for all ages and stages. And goal two is affording aging. And then we go to, we heard anything yet, Denise? Okay, we'll go to number 8, which is announcements and roundtables. So let's start, I'll start at the top of the alphabet, hope you don't mind, Charlene. Do you have any comments or suggestions or anything about seniors you'd like to bring up?
Thank you, Chair. Just two small announcements. One is that I'm happy to report for the Costa Mesa Senior Center that their transportation through their bus system is now beginning, has begun to, from the senior center to community events. And that's been a big boost to get the seniors to meet at the center, take them to the fair. They're going next month to Sherman Gardens. So they're starting small with community transportation, which is now they want the big trips. They want to get back to Las Vegas, but whatever, we start small. And then as far as housing is concerned, last week, the City Council, our Costa Mesa City Council, approved 6-1 adopt a recommend a measure that will go on the ballot for more affordable housing in our city. So they're working towards the housing element, and that concludes my update.
Thank you very much. So the transportation they're talking about is because of COVID, everything was probably cut out, I'm assuming. So now you have small trips starting and then they're working towards the bigger trips?
Yes, that's correct, Sandy.
Okay. And then did they say any more about the affordable housing, like where it would be or anything, or they're just approving that they're going to do it?
We had a Measure Y that was approved several years ago that was quite controversial. And the net result was that in the last 3 years, we only had approximately 180 new units of housing that was approved and developed in our city. And so we're woefully behind the curve in accessing. So we're hoping that this will regenerate development in our community.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. That's good information. Next, we'll go to Linda Barcelona.
I really don't have anything to announce at this time.
All right. And then Denise. Maybe she's still trying to get him on the phone. I'll skip over and go to Elizabeth.
Nothing to announce.
Okay. Helen Cameron.
I'm sorry, my internet just went down. Not sure what I'm talking about.
Oh, we're doing the roundtable announcements, discussion points, Anything you want to discuss about seniors, transportation, housing, or in general?
Yeah, lots of action on senior housing. And I know we're going to hear an update from Cesar Covarrubias in a little bit, but I want to mention a mental health housing program that I'm involved with, an idea to develop a pilot program to address co-occurring mental health and dementia. And I think you will probably hear more about it from the SCAC committee at some time in the near future. But there look like there are some state funding options for this kind of a model, and nothing like this exists in the United States.
So what you're saying is there might be housing, specific housing for people having mental health issues?
It's more likely to be a board and care model, which is considered a housing option. And that's a licensed facility, and already there are licensed facilities separate for memory care and separate for mental health. And what we're discussing at the Behavioral Health Board level is an option to provide a place where someone with serious mental health issues and developing memory issues can be treated for both those. So an exciting new option.
That's a really good option. I'd never thought of that because I volunteered as a, an ombudsman, and we called on board and cares. And in California, they're allowed to have six people. And that's the same with developmentally disabled. I guess the magic number in California is six, but that would be really, that's a good option, because if you house six people and you have a person on staff there to help them and they have their housing and they get off the street, that's a great idea. I never thought of that.
Well, we're actually talking about a larger model, which is called residential care, where larger number of people receive board and care resources, but not to rule out a house, but it's typically not as cost effective as in a larger facility, especially for memory care, where people tend to live out their lives. So it needs to be a robust program.
So it would be a larger facility than six.
Yeah, potentially. Okay. A board and care, a residential care environment. They're all licensed, so they have to have 24-hour care.
Right. Okay. It's still a very good idea, though. I like it.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything else?
Not today.
Okay. Amelia? Is Amelia here? I can't remember.
I don't have anything to share. Thank you. Okay.
And then next we go to Gary King.
I don't have anything this time.
Okay. And then we go to Jean Hernandez.
No, I don't. The only thing I have to report is that I survived COVID. I guess that's pretty phenomenal.
Oh, you got sick?
Oh, boy. I was down and out for a couple of weeks. And it's kind of the gift that keeps giving, because I'm getting feedback somewhere. Is that you, June? Okay. You get over it. And then a week later, I got this laryngitis that lasted for like 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then just the overall fatigue, but all that's gone now. Tested negative a couple times and I'm fine. So but that's a pain. Let me tell you.
Last month when you had that cold, you think you really had COVID?
That's what it was. I thought it was a cold, and mm-hmm. I went in because my sore throat was so bad. And they said, hey, you've got COVID. I go, you've got to be kidding. I was shocked. I just thought it was a head cold.
Right.
Just my sinuses and my throat.
That's what I've been reading, that a lot of us think we have a cold and they really have COVID.
So yeah, that was a wake-up call. It's quite shocking, actually. Yeah.
They said we have to be more careful. And if you have a cold, you should test yourself to make sure it's not COVID.
Anyway, thank you. Just glad to be here.
Okay, glad to have you. Glad you're feeling well. Juno.
No, I don't. I don't have any today. Thank you.
Okay. Carol Moore.
Yeah, actually, I have a question. And I'm sure that.
One second. Juno, mute yourself. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
I have a question. I'm sure the transportation people with OCTA can answer this. You know, I was listening to the declining ridership and the fees, and I'm sure they've looked at this, so you'll have these answers. But my question is, how much money is collected versus the cost of collecting the money in the first place? And so I'm wondering, is there a different way that could be done? I'm not suggesting that you have free, everybody hops on the bus for free, but maybe there's some adjustment on that. Anyway, I'm sure somebody will have a response on that. That's my question. Thank you.
That's a good question. I've never heard anyone at any of our meetings discuss that.
Well, I can just comment. I'm on the OCTA board. We lose money on the bus. We subsidize the bus ridership. We subsidize it. There's only two cities that really keep us afloat, and that's Anaheim and Santa Ana. Other than that, we lose money on it, so it's subsidized. So just know going into it that that system is subsidized, period.
That's what I was looking for, I know you're subsidized, and I assume that one, but if you're collecting money, what's the cost of collecting the money and the whole handling the money? The reason I'm saying this, we found that with a library. It seems strange that you think, okay, if you're late with a book, you should be, you know, get those books back. Turned out it didn't work. And it went the other way. And I'm only asking this, I'm sure you've considered this, but my thought is, would it make sense? You have two cities that are contributing, and obviously there's some money. It's kind of hard to turn your back on that, because the whole point is to make things pay for themselves. But would it make sense to have a different way that you had some identification that you could get? I don't know. I'm just bringing that up because there's cost benefit business there.
We've looked at a lot of those suggestions, Carol, and it's a good one. Because you would think, is there a better way? And they've tried everything. The problem is you have so many different kinds of discounts. You have seniors, you've got students. Students now ride for free. So, and not just students, actually, 18 and under, I think, can use our bus service to go anywhere. And that's been highly successful. All 9 of the community colleges are raving about it because it allows their students to get there without cost, it takes that barrier, that transportation barrier, out of the equation for them. But I can check into it. Let me follow up on that and see. But I know, we would love to get out of the business of actually collecting the money. But I'm not sure. I'll find out.
Are you talking about the physical part of collecting money, or just the fact that money's being collected?
Well, both, I think.
I'm talking the actual cost. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes you think, we found that where I live, we found that with if people use it, they should pay for it. But then it turned out that you were spending so much time collecting small amounts of money that had no, increased your costs. You didn't pay for anything, you increased it. So I thought, oh, well, is that, how is that? What is the point where, what your cost versus what you're collecting? So you can look and say, okay, I'm sure you have those numbers. And I thought that one, and then I thought, is there another way to get on the bus? And I'm thinking that you had an identification, perhaps. I don't know. What do you even need it? Maybe you don't even need that. I'm just trying to be clear on what you can do. I don't know.
Those are good questions. Let me go to Helen Cameron. She has her hand up. Maybe she has a comment about that.
Yeah, I have a comment. My last trip to Australia, in Sydney, they have a transportation center using cards that you click on, click off as you get on transportation. Very efficient system. Every equivalent to a 7-Eleven sells those passes, and senior discounts are automatically put on your card. A very efficient system throughout the city. So that's maybe something to look into, Jean, or perhaps OCTA has already looked into the cost of outfitting the transportation system. But I could use it to go on a ferry or a bus or a train, and very minimally expensive for seniors.
Yeah, universal pass. That's a good idea, Helen. I don't know. I haven't heard that discussion come up, but I will certainly raise that issue.
Okay, thank you.
I noticed when we went to London, all the museums were free. Nobody charged anything for the museums. And back to your point, Carol, when I was tutoring for the No Child Left Behind program, I would talk to the parents about going to the library to get books. And they all, you know, they told me, no, we don't go there anymore because the children would misplace the books and then they'd get these big fines in the mail. So instead of utilizing a free service, they just said, no, we're not going anymore. And I could see the parents' point. They don't have that kind of money. The people that I was tutoring their children, they didn't have any extra cash. So, and I noticed with the grandson here this summer, we were going to the library and they have a fabulous system now. You scan your own books when you check out if you want to. And then they send me an email reminding me when the books are due and they list all the books. So unless I'm totally out of touch with the world, mm-hmm. I know that I've got 7 books that are out there that I have to get back, which I really appreciate it. I think that's a good system. Okay, any other comments from anybody? Okay, so for myself, I think I gave the update on, anyway, I was gonna say back to OCTA, the Special Needs Transportation. I've been on that committee for quite a while, and since day one, I've heard about the bus ridership going down. And part of it is in South County especially, everybody has a car, so nobody takes the bus. And then if you do need to take the bus, you have to transfer 2 and 3 times and it can take you forever to get anywhere. So they're not really, in my book, encouraging people to use the bus, because it's like, you know, like the handicapped people in the room were telling us how long it takes them to get anywhere. So it's really, I don't know, it's a catch 22. No one's riding the bus, shouldn't say no one, other than Santa Ana and Anaheim. And we're all into our cars.
Yeah, the county, I mean, the OCTA is looking at different ways to revamp and become more relevant. I know we just had a meeting yesterday with some of the trends that San Diego is doing. And we may be looking into that. And really what you're looking at is not so much buses anymore, especially in South County, but more of a modified, like a taxi type service.
Yeah.
That will take you to and from specific locations and whatnot. And you can avoid all the stops in between, because yeah, if you're on a bus and you're going to depending on what location, you may stop 15 times and it takes you 3 times the amount of time to get to your location. So yeah, there's a lot of that. It's an outdated model that we're looking at revamping.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to revamp it because they have so much money invested in it. And then, but I saw in LA, they're switching to, or was it the school buses, electric buses?
Yeah, everybody's going electric buses. We'll be there too. But it's, and LA, of course, is a much higher user of transportation than Orange County is, particularly South County. Yeah, yeah. Buses in South County are virtually dead.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question regarding going to electric. What's that do with the weight of the bus?
The weight?
Weight.
Yeah, they did a study on that too, Carol. I don't recall the result, but it wasn't significant actually.
Hmm.
I guess they got more efficient batteries now.
Okay.
So you're worried about the weight of the battery? Is that what you're saying?
No. Well, the weight of the bus, you know, the weight. If you want to wear down roads, then put trucks on there, and you'll see a wear on the road. In your neighborhood streets, if you didn't have the waste haulers coming in, that there's so much weight. Not when they come in, but when they leave, and the weight of those trucks is a big factor on street maintenance. So you know, these are all factors that you have to consider. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, these are much more modern batteries now that weight is not crucial like what you're describing, Carol, which is true. Weight of a vehicle does wear out the streets. It's just that simple.
Okay, I see Denise's hand is up.
Yes, thank you. We were just weighing in on activities or what's been going on in the cities or the last month.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to let you know that Anaheim will be having a health fair and resource fair September 10th. I know it's kind of a ways away, but they will be having health screening and class demonstrations, entertainment, and drawings. But if other cities would like to participate, Anaheim borders so many other cities, it'd be nice to have other people from the SCAC committee come and report out on, you know, housing and transportation. It's always good to have the county present at these kind of events. And then also, I received an email from Doug Chafee's office about the one-stop shop. Apparently, he attended Andrew Doe's press conference to highlight the County Community Service Center. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. It's on Magnolia Street in Westminster. And it says, this location will become a model for government services to bring needed services into the community in one place, promoting equity and access to everyone, including assistance in Vietnamese and Spanish.
What is this one-stop
shop? It's called CCSC, County Community Service Center. And it's going to provide services for older adults, access to healthcare, public safety net services, referrals for mental and behavioral health services, affordable housing, property tax breaks, and utility assistance and children's services. And the offices will be open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And this is something I think I wish would be presented to SCAC under, it's probably under health, but the housing and the anything to do with affordable housing for seniors, maybe I could ask Doug Chafee's office to get an aide or somebody to do that presentation for us. Is that possible, Desiree?
I don't have any contact with directly contacted or linked to Doug Chafee's office, but I'm sure if you just reach out, they can connect you with someone who can help you out with that.
Okay, because I think a lot of money was spent on this project, and Westminster is pretty much the middle of the whole county. And then I also got an email from Garden Grove has located and will be negotiating the purchase of a future navigation center. So hopefully they're partnering with Fountain Valley and Westminster to bring in housing up to 80 beds. And this is part of a court ruling from the Ninth Circuit Supreme Court from 2018, when they should have built more bed space. And so that's coming online soon. But just to let you know that we are chipping away. Well, it looks like we're chipping away at housing and for the seniors most vulnerable. I'm sure Helen would know that more than anybody. So anyway, that's my report, and I still haven't gotten a hold of Caesar. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I just want to make a comment. What they're talking about is not housing, it's shelter. So we need to make sure we understand that distinction, and that's an important distinction. Settling the litigation, shelter does settle that issue, but it's not housing. So we need to be make sure that we're advocating for the final solution. And in fact, I just was contacted by someone in Garden Grove about a senior who has been receiving a subsidy in Garden Grove in a senior community and is losing her subsidy at the end of September and will potentially become homeless unless some other subsidy is available. So these issues quickly become very personal.
Yeah. Right. And I guess what Stanton is really trying to let us know, that a future navigation center is coming to our area. I wish every city had stepped up at the same time. I don't think we would show this whack-a-mole process going on if everybody stepped up at the same time. Yeah. But, you know, kudos to Stanton for trying. And then kudos to Chafee's office with Doe to please get us some more one-stop
places for access to care that's funded by the government. Is even BeWell OC, I don't know how crowded they are at this point in time since they opened. And there's a lot of good resources. I don't know if you guys know about the 988 number for crisis and suicide that just opened recently. Please pass that along. Thank you.
Denise, going back to the one-stop shop, do you think that we should have a presentation on that?
I think it would be helpful in any way that we can communicate to our seniors, and if they know people in crisis also. I believe anything that gives us communication, especially because it's in several languages, again, to distribute to the community, senior community centers, is always an extra tool in the toolbox. And we should also promote it, let other city council members know, and the senior citizens commission or board you have in your city. The more this gets out, the more help people find and hope to get things done. Thank you.
Do you want to follow up and see if you can find a speaker?
I sure will.
That would be great, because I didn't know anything about it. And I think we should take that information to our senior centers.
So Doug Becht, who spoke last month, is in charge of that program. So we could reach out directly to him about information about that center. He's the director of the Office on Care Coordination. So that would be the more direct way, Denise, to get to a speaker.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. That's good. Any other comments or information? We might have a short meeting today because we don't have a speaker. Nobody has anything else? Okay, did I miss anything? So, it's 10:17. Elizabeth, I'm sorry, Elizabeth has her hand up.
Yes, this is definitely not the first time Caesar has done this. He has done this so many times, it isn't funny.
Really?
And I expected this to happen. I was going to get in touch with Denise to say, be careful, because this has happened, I can't tell you how many times.
I agree with you. I was thinking the same thing, but then I thought, well, you know, maybe he'll show up this time.
That's what I was thinking too, maybe. Well, I should have known. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll put him on our other list.
Did we call him or text him?
Did anyone?
I would have thought Desiree would have followed, but we did have his number and sent him the Zoom. And if something's gone wrong, I hope he has a good excuse. But he was at the HHRC meeting, right, Helen, just a week ago, and reported out to that committee quite extensively.
Yeah, so I just sent him a text. I don't know if he'll respond, but did we directly contact him this morning?
I did not.
Anyone? Okay.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I'm so sorry.
When I tried to get him, I did everything, and to no avail. So as far as I don't have much confidence in a person like that.
I agree.
Sorry.
Yeah, me too. All right. Well, the best laid plans can't always, you know.
Yeah.
I think this is the only one we've had this year. Everybody's done a great job showing up and good.
Yeah, you're right.
And he probably has a wealth of information too. All right. Well, let's see. Our next meeting is September. I should have it in front of me, but I don't. And I'm bringing in the speaker on 211. And I'll make sure that follow up, make sure that they don't forget. that's part of the problem. You make these so far out in advance, I think that easy to forget.
September 8th is our next meeting.
Oh, thank you. September 8th, and so it'll be on 2-1-2-1-1. We're going to have a lot of different numbers. I forgot to mention, too, did everyone get that report from somebody had a question on the senior emergency transportation, and they sent out a report to us. I forget who it came from. Did everybody get that? Mm-hmm. It was, does the senior emergency transportation, collect any client level data pertaining to the type of medical appointments the participant is attending? And the answer was HIPAA laws prohibit collecting information regarding clients' medical condition history. And for that reason, the client is not required to disclose this type of information when requesting a ride. However, the program does collect a broader level of information regarding the type of trip selected by the client. And here's the information and there's a lot of percentages, so I'm sure you don't want me to read all this. But trip type A is non-ambulatory, curb to curb. B was non-ambulatory, door to door. And C was transportation, curb to curb. And D was transportation service, door to door. And the highest percentage was hospital doctor's office at 79%. And then the next one was dental at 31%. The next one was therapy, which could be occupational or physical, 25%. Dialysis was 13%. Chemotherapy, 4%. Radiation, 3%. Prescription pickup, 8%. Mental health, 2%. COVID vaccination testing, 12%, and other 11%. And I can't remember who asked that question.
Yeah, Sandy, it was me. And the purpose of the question was to make sure that we knew that we could let people know that psychiatric appointments were also part of the availability of the transportation. That was really helpful information.
Yeah.
And certainly understand not calling out what the purpose was of the appointment, but the question was really motivated by letting our seniors know that any appointment that they might have for psychiatric services would be covered.
And that's a good question, because it's very low. It's only 2%.
Right.
People don't know.
Yeah, that's what my takeaway was from reading it, but it was helpful to hear it. And there's no reason for people to identify where they're going for the medical appointment. It's more about knowing that they could use the transportation to do that.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that. That was a good question. All right. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Well, I apologize for our speaker not showing. And everyone have a good rest of the month, and we'll see you in September. Thank you for participating.
Thank you.